Welcome to Paul or Nothing, the place to get all of your Paul all of the time. Join me, your host Sam Wiles, as we discover the history, the music, and the man behind it all, Paul McCartney. To get in contact with the show, email us at paulmccartneypod@gmail.com.
Hello, hello, and welcome to yet another bonus episode of Paul or Nothing. Oh my gosh, how many of these am I making now? I really should focus on getting back to the main series, but hey, I'm easily distracted, and I love making these little digressions for you out there. First thing I want to say, just before I start the show, I want to thank everyone out there. I want to thank everyone who has been listening to the show, all the subscribers, all the listeners, all the Patreon patrons, everyone out there. Thank you for supporting the show, and it's just so much fun to keep doing this for you. We've been going now for over a year, and whilst we're still a rather select community, it's been growing every day, and the response is always fantastic. If you want to support the show, please check us out on Twitter, which is @McCartneyPod. Send us in an email on any topic about Paul, any topic about the Beatles or music in general. Maybe you want to talk about an album we haven't spoken about yet, or maybe you just want to correct something I said on the last episode. I've already got a few of you out there on the Twitter who are more than happy to point out factual mistakes on the show from time to time, as rare slash common as they are. You can follow us on the blog, which is www.paulmccartneypod.wordpress.com. That's paulmccartneypod.wordpress.com. We have 5 articles out now, folks. The latest one that I've added, Chaos and Creation, the most what the fuck McCartney songs, has been up for about 5 days now as of recording. And basically, it's one of those generic web clickbait format blogs. I did something very similar for the Tom Waits podcast down in the hole, where I did the most what the fuck Tom Waits songs. So I think for any podcast I do from now till time in memoriam, I will do a most what the fuck songs blog. But hey, you can check out other blog posts, like where I talk about the best songs that the band never sung, or my album where I discuss how to fix Red Rose Speedway, and many more, as I'm sure will be added from the time when this podcast is released. I do try and get them out every Friday. Even if I miss one and it's a few days late, it doesn't mean the one next will be late. It'll be on the next Friday. I've got about 4 or 5 in the pipeline at any one time. They're really fun. It's just a nice way to keep my creative juices flowing in between episodes. Right now, I'm finding it very hard to write about London Town for more than 10 minutes. But hey, please give us a like on iTunes if you can. I know it's been hard for a while to actually find me on iTunes. It's been calling me the Sam Wiles podcast for a while. I've gotten that fixed. Hopefully, you should be able to find the podcast a little more easily on iTunes now. Hopefully, that'll give us a little bit more exposure. Obviously, you can find us on YouTube and on Facebook by just typing in Paul McCartney Podcast or Paul or Nothing. And the most important one, as always, is the Patreon. If you want to see the show grow, if you want to get us that new mic that we so desperately need, you know, improve the sound quality, get more content out there, get better guests on, then please support the show in whatever little way you can. Obviously, I really appreciate it here. Like I say, I've been doing this for a year now, and I think we both deserve a better show now, folks. Now, on to today's episode. You've probably seen by the title already that this shares a similar title with a blog post. And this was a blog post that I didn't mention just in my brief plug, and I did that for a reason. Basically, the blog is a great way for me to write about other non-specific topics. Like I mentioned before, it allows me to write about things that I really can't quite fit into an episode, and, you know, might possibly be a little more clickbaity in their nature, which is just another form to write in. Obviously, it's always nice to have a nice good blog on the CV in this media age, so hey, I've indulged that notion. But the article that I wrote, which was called, as this episode is, The Top 11 Songs That Prove Linda McCartney Didn't Suck, in parentheses, McCartney Article 4, and I've chosen to do this as a kind of little mini episode just because it's been the most successful post on the blog by some way, by about 500% compared to the other articles. Maybe it's the violent reaction people have when discussing Linda. You know, obviously she's a character from history that generates so much passion from people. Some very, very negative, some extremely positive reactions. And the reaction that was on Facebook was very intense. I don't think I've ever had over 300 likes for something in my life. Obviously, it's not for 300 likes or on one post, God no. I like to spread it over many Paul McCartney Facebook pages, many Beatles Facebook pages, and 9.9 out of 10 of them are very happy with me posting this content there. You know, original content on the Beatles, you know, is both seemingly scarce and overpopulated at the same time, so people are always glad to see this new kind of stuff. But I've decided to do it as an episode today just because I felt it's probably the best article that I've done for the show, and you know, that does reflect somewhat, I think, in the amount of views it had, not just the fact that people love to talk about Linda and discuss Linda. So I thought, in the spirit of getting some new content out there before we get to London Town, I thought, hey, let's do the top 11 songs that prove Linda McCartney doesn't suck. It's really impossible to be a Wings fan and not come across the inevitable criticism of their resident keyboard player and cook. If internet forums and YouTube comment sections aren't recycling scathing and excessive slurs towards Yoko Ono, they will almost certainly be bitching about how Linda can't sing and can't play keyboards. And I've never understood all the hate. No, really, I don't. Linda was always an easy target, and it has been this way ever since she first entered the public eye. Being Paul's other half, she would either end up being a symbol of Paul no longer being a sexy, eligible bachelor, or a symbol of the untimely demise of the Fab Four. Wings were never meant to be a supergroup made up of the best musicians in the business, no. Instead, it was meant to be a group of people that Paul was comfortable hanging out with. So if we extrapolate this standard, it was an inexorable fact that Linda would always be in the band, as it was clear, thanks to countless photo shoots, that Paul loved hanging out with no one more than Linda. Aside from Paul himself and their lead guitarist and resident Brummy, Denny Lane, Linda was the only other member of the band to survive all incarnations and lineups. She was also Paul's longest working collaborator in general, having appeared on vinyl with Paul as early as Let It Be, when she sang backing vocals on the title track, right the way through to Flaming Pie before her untimely tragic death in 1998. Yes, it's clear she was no trained musician in any sense, and yes, if you go back to those early Wings bootlegs from the 1972 University tour, it's all too clear that the phrase unpolished is a bit of an understatement, but that doesn't mean everything she ever contributed to Paul's music was all for naught. Whilst it's easy to write off Linda as a famous groupie that piggybacked her way into the music business, I feel she's so much more than that. She was his confidant, his muse, his lover, and the rock upon which the McCartney Church was built after the collapse of the Beatles' temple. At the end of the day, music is, and always will be, a collaborative process, and it's impossible to know how many other times Linda added a line here or an idea there, and, you know, maybe she didn't do any at all. But either way, her stamp on the McCartney discography and sound is unmistakable, as it is undeniable. What I intend to do in this little mini episode is present 11 examples of songs which heavily feature Linda in one way or another, that trumpet her invaluable position as a bandmate, writing partner and collaborator with pop music's most prolific auteur. For anyone out there who is yet to be won over by Paul's iconic lover, here are 11 songs that will show that there is far more to this American photographer slash veggie food founder than meets the eye. Note, I have indeed listened to Linda's posthumous album Wild Prairie, but this is, you know, a Paul-centric show, as you know, and I really wasn't a fan of anything on the CD to begin with, so I won't be including any of that on this episode. Sorry, lovely Linda. Oh, and just another little PS. I had loads of people on the Facebook point out many, many songs that I missed out on this list, with examples such as Listen to What the Man Said and Bluebird and London Town and so many other songs where, you know, indeed she did contribute some classic touch to a classic McCartney song. Now, obviously, you as listeners of the show will be much more aware of this than other people, but as you know, this is an evolution of the show. This is a chronological podcast where I have not even yet gotten past London Town in the actual episodes, and my research has only taken me as far as Pipes of Peace. So anything after that really wasn't going to get featured all that much. But hey, people also had lots of examples of those kind of songs as well. Obviously, if you have any songs that you felt were Linda's best, please send us an email at paulmccartneypod@gmail.com. Even if there's a particularly bad Linda song, I'd also like to hear that as well. But as always, I love to hear the variety of opinions out there. And Linda is one of the strongest temples to build that upon, really. This is also in no particular order. I'm just going to read 11 songs that I thought were particularly good. The first is The Backseat of My Car from Ram in 1971. And And this song is the first of what looks to be many entries from Paul and Linda's 10 out of 10 knockout 1971 album Ram. Obviously, people who've listened to that episode and many other episodes of the show know my extreme bias towards Ram, and that is the only Linda and Paul McCartney album that they ever made under that title. So of course, this is going to be a very Linda-focused album. Rather famously, Elton John was so impressed with what he had heard, he asked Paul who he'd used for said backing vocals and harmonies. And I'm sure Paul was more than happy to inform him that it was none other than the lovely Linda. You know, Linda's vocal contribution to The Backseat of My Car just adds that quintessential layer of young love, whimsy and charm that sells the teenage opera that is this song. If it wasn't those two singing together, you just couldn't picture that young, desperately in love pop culture couple speeding down the road unless Linda was on this track. Even if Paul had used another female vocalist, it just wouldn't have had that charm. The next song is Good Night Tonight, which was a non-album single, as you know, from 1979. Don't say it, don't say it, say anything, don't say good night tonight. Don't say it, say anything, but don't say good night tonight. And, you know, the final single for Wings is probably not the first song you'd think of when a game show host mentions Linda McCartney, but Goodnight Tonight simply would not have the energy and pep it does without Linda's rousing additions to the chorus. After almost 9 years in the band, it was clear that Linda's slow but steady approach to self-improvement had finally begun to pay off, even if it was a little too late to escape her critics. Just that part where she goes, "Don't say it, don't say it." Sorry, I'm a terrible singer, I apologise. The next song is I Am Your Singer from Wildlife in 1971.
You are my one, you are my own melody, you are my song, I am your singer.
A lot of you who have listened to the show will know that I had a horrendously soft spot for this song on our third episode, Wildlife. Just for me, this one has always been a wonderfully potent mix of guilty pleasure and woefully underrated. I Am Your Singer is the only real duet between Paul and his sweetheart, which is a shame really, because this song is utterly delightful and I would have liked to have seen it be spread out much more amongst the Wings and solo McCartney catalogue. Whilst it may be a little rough and frayed around the edges, as is all of Wildlife, the central conceit of Paul sharing a love song with his wife is in itself more than endearing enough to bypass its shortcomings. Paul has always written love songs, but to feature Linda in this particularly meta and self-aware track reinforces the idea that her mere involvement in the song is more important than a perfect voice. I'm a sucker for saccharine romanticism, and this song has it in spades. Up next we have Another Day, which was a non-album single recorded during when else but the Ram sessions in 1970, released in 1971.
It's just another day at the office where the papers grow. She takes a break, drinks another coffee, and she finds it hard to stay awake. It's just another day. It's just another day.
This is probably where most people actually first heard Linda Eastman on record. They may have heard it on, well, they would have definitely heard it on Let It Be, but they wouldn't have known it was her. The simple arrangement of the backing vocals, akin to Paul writing songs within a restrictive range and a limited range for Ringo, does not push Linda past her own limits, and therefore she flourishes, offering a soft, melancholic undercurrent to McCartney's own jaunt in this song. And on a track where the subject matter is a woman itself, the addition of her feminine touch adds a unique soundscape that differentiates Paul's new sound from anything the Beatles ever used. This would go on to shape the Wings group vocal for the next 9 years. And as I've always said, as many people have, Linda is key to that Wings sound, to that Wings core harmony. Next we have Wildlife from what other album but Wildlife, again 1971. Not every entry on this list was going to be simply restricted to Linda's vocal work. I had to give her one scrap, one little nod towards her plinky plonky keyboard playing In fact, she doesn't even sing on this song at all. Wildlife is the best example of Linda contributing a minimalistic signature plinky plonky keyboard part. Whilst it's hardly anything complicated, I wouldn't expect anything complicated from her at all at this point, let alone all over her career. The droning electronic dirge that she creates, that monotonous sludge that hefts through the song and adds a real menacing weight to it, and gives the song that distinctively restless atmosphere. However, it has to be pointed out that Linda doesn't mess up her part on this song once, yet veteran entertainer Paul McCartney routinely mispronounces animals as aminals. Though, as one person pointed out in the Facebook comments, John Lennon in his book In His Own Right and Spaniard in the Works frequently used the word aminals. So, you know, this was an album with Dear Friend, which was the real outreach to John Lennon, so maybe this is just a subliminal version of that, who knows? We're then followed by Big Barn Bed from Red Rose Speedway, 1973. And this one is the first time audiences would have heard that staple Wings vocal group sound that I mentioned earlier. Rather like Goodnight Tonight, Linda's backing vocals on this Red Rose Speedway opener are a much needed injection of fun and enjoyment into the mix and into the production. The song's dense, interwoven layering somewhat buries Linda's own vocals, but if you pop on a good pair of earphones, you can really appreciate what can only be described as her ethereal silliness. As with any discussion on this song, Linda and this track as a whole sound infinitely better on Paul's Pure McCartney compilation album. I then want to talk about Some People Never Know, which was from Wildlife in 1971 again. This is another overly sentimental little ditty from this album. This song also highlights just how much Paul was utterly revelling in the prospect of having his writing partner as an official band member now, and he really exploits that to get to do more music with her. And clocking in at 6 minutes 35 seconds, this song is definitely in the overindulgent McCartney category. But he gets his money's worth by filling it with some truly heartfelt harmonisations that further cement that inseparable relationship. Though there is a part of me that wonders if Paul is just trying to look more inseparable than John and Yoko. But you never know. I also would wager that he can't see the wood for the trees, and a song that's 6.5 minutes plus with Linda is nothing to him. Linda's raw and unrefined voice adds a truly intimate touch that not only shows the personable love that they sing about, a love that overcomes all obstacles, aka a lack of musical talent, is a reality, but also that a song doesn't have to be perfect to really be perfect. I was never going to get through this podcast without mentioning Live and Let Die, which was another non-album single from 1973.
You used to say live and let live. You know you did, you know you did, you know you did. But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you,
both McCartneys were fans of Jamaican music since their holiday in the early 70s, but it would be Linda herself that would add the distinctively reggae-infused third verse to the ultimate Bond song.
What does it matter to you when you got a job to do? You got to do it well. You got to give the other fella hell.
The verse in question has been attributed to Linda by none other than Paul himself, which makes this song to be one of the most directly collaborative Paul and Linda songs ever made, at least that's, you know, properly historically recorded. Shifting from a laid-back groove to a shrieking sonic boom, it's the perfect segue that would allow Paul to whisk us off our feet once again with that classic main brass hook. Next up is Silly Love Songs from Wings at the Speed of Sound in 1976.
Thank you.
And by 1976, Paul had fully become that veritable master of the studio. And despite the fact that this song hails from the same album that bore Linda's worst single contribution to the band, Hang Your Head in Shame, Cook the House, her vocals here are a testament to Wings succeeding when they use the right tool for the right job. On a song that so snidely addresses one's critics, it only makes sense that Paul raises a second middle finger to his fans by making his lovely Linda so damn prominent. And you know what? She totally nails it, with her and Paul's graceful harmonies playfully weaving themselves through one another. They make it look easy. Silly Love Songs is certainly Linda's most accomplished and nuanced performance since the always insurmountable Ram. Up next we have Beware My Love, again from Wings at the Speed of Sound in 1976.
Can't say I found out, but can't tell you what it's all about. Don't know who does, but tell you to.
Linda absolutely dominates the foreboding faux intro to this Lost Wings classic, and it sets the tone for the song perfectly. And she continues throughout the song to provide excellently solid backing vocals to one of Paul's great Lost vocal performances. And whilst I will always pick this song for any top 10, top 11, top 12, top 20, whatever, purely just because it's one of my favourite Wings songs, it's just so great to see Linda really dominating a harmony segment. Like, she's only sang as the lead once, but normally when she's in a harmony, Paul is more dominant or Denny is more dominant, and she's kind of just in the background adding a nice layer of Linda. But here, you know, the part where they go,
beware my love,
she is in control and she is holding her own. Though, as Luca Perezzi said on our bonus episode, Wings at the Speed of Sound is an album that is better produced than it is in songwriting. So obviously that will just apply to this song as well. It's just interesting to see Linda in such an upfront role and nailing it. Lastly, we have Dear Boy, again from Ram in 1971.
Boy, I guess you never saw.
Just can't keep away from this album, really. I mean, this was the only ever album, like I say, to be officially credited to the two of them, and Paul really gives her the opportunity to demonstrate her talents. Ram has an unparalleled level of creativity and raw power that was and is sadly lacking from much of Paul's other work. And unfortunately, by proxy, some of that had transferred over to Linda, to the extent whereby you forget that her vocals have ever been derided at all, really. Her voice is soft, wholesome, and yes, in key. It's fantastic. Rather fittingly, the song itself is a damning retort from Paul to Linda's own ex-husband, Joseph Melville C. Jr., and the lyrics concern how anyone could be so stupid for letting Linda slip through their fingers. So, not biased at all, eh, Paulie? There is no Ram without Linda, and that is a world I would not want to ever live in. Overall, Linda Eastman, McCartney, was no Denny Sywell or Lawrence Juber, but that does not mean she's deserving of all the excessive hate that spills over whenever her name is brought up. Like many of Macca's supposed faults, many can be dispelled by simply giving the music a chance. And the fact is, Linda knew all too well of these criticisms, some of them levelled by Paul himself, and they're not totally unsubstantiated at all. But despite this torrent of crap heading her way, she stayed with the band and she remained by Paul's side. It is this that, to me, anyway, truly shows her strength of character and determination to do what she loved with the man she loved. This was never going to be a long episode, folks. I'm not sure whether I'm going to call it a mini episode or just another bonus episode. It's just a little bit of content to keep you over. Thank you so much for listening. Please send me emails in. Let me know what you think of Linda McCartney. I know that I'll have to do a whole episode, or maybe even two, just dedicated to her life story, obviously to give her the story she deserves, very much like Henry Hill's Wife, played tremendously by Lorraine Bracco in Goodfellas, how the film suddenly shifts perspective to her narration, which is such a tectonic move in that film, and Linda kind of had that tectonic impact on Paul's life as well. Thank you for listening to another Paul or Nothing podcast, folks. Obviously, check out the blog that this episode was inspired by. It can be found at paulmccartneypod.wordpress.com. That's www.paulmccartneypod.wordpress.com. Please get in contact with me at the Twitter, which is at McCartneyPod. And please keep supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/McCartneyPodcast. Thank you again, folks. I'm sure Denny Lane's No Words is playing us out right now. Once again, peace and love, peace and love. Take care. I'll see you next time. London Town's not too far away.